Hi, and welcome to COVID Quickly, a Scientific American podcast series.
This is your fast-track update on the COVID pandemic. We bring you up to speed on the science behind the most urgent questions about the virus and the disease. We demystify the research and help you understand what it really means.
I'm Tanya Lewis.
I'm Josh Fishman.
And we're Scientific American's senior health editors. Today, how to care for yourself when you're sick at home with COVID.
And how do you know when it's just spring allergies making you sneeze and not the virus?
These days, I keep hearing about people getting COVID and riding it out at home. If you have a relatively mild case, what should you do to take care of yourself?
More and more people are in exactly that situation, Tanya. The daily average of new cases has been going up from about 50,000 at the end of April to just over 80,000 today. But a lot fewer people are ending up in the hospital, just under 20,000 at the end of last week.
Well, that's good, but that means more people with COVID are taking care of themselves at home, right?
Yep. So what's the best way to do that? What helps with symptoms? How do you handle isolation? I asked Scientific American contributing editor Lydia Denworth to look into that. She spoke with several doctors who treat COVID and came up with some good tips.
Even though we call these mild cases, people say it's often like 2 weeks of the worst flu you can imagine, with fevers and racking coughs.
True. So first of all, note your symptoms. Timothy Brewer, an epidemiologist at UCLA, told Lydia that there's a wide range, but a lot of them hit your upper respiratory system. That's where Omicron and its subvariants like to replicate. So there's less chest and lung inflammation and more sore throats and congestion. Achiness, coughing, shortness of breath, and fever are also common.
I'd probably want to test myself if I started feeling bad. Should I use a rapid antigen test?
These symptoms can look like bad allergies or the flu, so experts say use an antigen test after the symptoms start. If the first test is negative, do another one 2 days later. If the virus is building up inside you, the second test will probably pick it up.
Okay, so I'm positive and feeling positively awful. Time to call my doctor?
Well, not everyone has a primary care doc, but if you do, call yours. They can advise you on medications. They'll also notify public health agencies so you're included in case counts.
After that, is there anything in my medicine cabinet that might help me?
Probably, or over the counter at your local drugstore. Common drugs don't fight the virus, but they do manage symptoms. Acetaminophen brings down fevers and relieves achiness. So do non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, NSAIDs, like ibuprofen. Antihistamines or cold medications like Dayquil relieve congestion and cough.
People should be more careful with NSAIDs, though. They have more side effects than acetaminophen, and they're not safe for everyone. I know the label instructions are in tiny print, but it's a good idea to read them. You should probably check with your doctor if you're taking other drugs, too.
Sometimes I take a picture of the label with my cell phone and blow it up. That helps. Another thing that helps? Good old TLC. Rest and drink fluids. That prevents dehydration and reduces cough. Hot tea with honey alleviates sore throat and cough, too.
What about prescription drugs, like the new antiviral pill, Paxlovid?
That helps if you start taking it early. But it's not for everyone. You can't use it with many common medications, such as statins or blood thinners. Some monoclonal antibodies also reduce the risk of severe disease, but they require an injection or an infusion. And not every patient is eligible. Both treatments have been authorized for people who are at higher risk for severe illness because of their age, 65 and older, or underlying health conditions such as high blood pressure or lung disease. There's no evidence yet that these treatments benefit people who are young or otherwise healthy.
Bad news for me, I guess. What happens if you live by yourself, though? Lots of people do, some of them young and some older. Being alone with COVID can be scary.
I know. And if you don't have a partner to make drugstore runs and food runs, it's really tough. Brewer says it's smart to arrange to have someone call you once a day to check up. The check-ins can reduce anxiety and loneliness because you're isolating for at least 5 days. Friends and family shouldn't get physically close, but they can drop off meals, or they can drop off Tylenol and other OTC medications, as well as some books, magazines, or TV show recs to fill the hours.
So you do this for 5 days after symptoms start and a positive test. Then if you feel better, you can go out, but should wear a high-quality mask like an N95 and do that for another 5 days. That's 10 days total. Are there warning signs in that period that could lead you to call for medical help?
Excellent question. Doctors told Lydia that the big thing to watch for is serious trouble breathing, chest pain, blue lips, if you can't swallow liquids, or if you get winded after taking a few steps in your bedroom, all reasons to get over to urgent care or to call 911. Most people won't run into this kind of trouble, but do not be shy about reaching out for help if you do.
Josh, it's been a rough allergy season. I find myself sniffling and sneezing constantly and have gone through more tissue boxes than I care to admit. But given all the COVID swirling around, I'm constantly paranoid that the virus has finally found me. Of course, the only way to know for sure whether you have COVID is a positive test. But tests aren't always available, and it can take days to test positive on a rapid test, even if you already have symptoms.
It does seem to be a rough allergy season. So how can you tell the difference between COVID and allergies?
Actually, freelance contributor Mariana Linaro asked experts this very question for a story we published recently. The symptoms are pretty similar. Nasal congestion, runny nose, sore throat, sneezing, coughing, headaches, and fatigue. But there are some pretty key differences.
Fever is one of them, right?
Right. It's not a common feature of allergies, so that's one giveaway. Another is sudden and severe smell loss. This was a common feature with earlier variants of the coronavirus, but is less common with Omicron. Still, allergies are unlikely to cause complete smell loss, and watery, puffy eyes are common with allergies, but less so with COVID.
That's helpful. So if I have a fever or any symptoms less common with allergies, should I take a COVID test?
Yes. Thinking about your own body and the context in which you started having symptoms is also important. Like, if you just mowed the lawn and started sneezing, it's probably allergies. But if you recently attended an indoor event with 200 people talking loudly, it could be COVID.
Do we know anything about whether people who have allergies are more susceptible to COVID, or even vice versa?
At first, scientists were worried that people who have allergic asthma were more likely to get infected with COVID and have a severe case, something that could happen with the flu. But a study published in the journal Thorax found the opposite, that people with allergic asthma may be at a lower risk of COVID infection than other people. And some studies show that people with allergic asthma appear to have lower levels of a receptor for the COVID-causing virus.
Well, that's good news. Is there anything we can do to protect against both COVID and allergies?
Wear a mask. It might spare you some sniffles, or worse. Now you're up to speed. Thanks for joining us. Our show is edited by Tulika Bose and Jeff Delvisio.
Come back in 2 weeks for the next episode of COVID Quickly and check out siam.com for updated and in-depth COVID news.